Okay, here we go.
Great tone. Everyone can tell what it is, but how do you get it? With so many styles of music, with new gear coming out almost daily, what's the secret to great tone? Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show, where we talk about tone, what it is, and how to get it. With your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill, we will talk to the creators of tone, the manufacturers, and the players as we explore tone and the gear that gets it.
Tonight on the Flow Guitar Enthusiast, we are talking all things NAMM. We welcome Rick Skillman from Celestion, Dan Boole from 65 Amps, Charles Voss and Jeffrey Blitch from Guitar Hummer, and we'll also be announcing the winner of the Arpanoid from Earthquaker Devices. The Flow Guitar Enthusiast is proudly sponsored by Sweetwater Musical Instruments and Pro Audio and our good friends at Guitar Hummer at guitarhummer.com. And now here are your hosts, Jeff Flo to the Izzo and Scott Sill.
Welcome, everybody, to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show. Hey, Scott, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Been keeping busy preparing for NAMM, actually. Been getting ready.
Yes, NAMM is next week, and I'm getting my feet ready because there's going to be a lot of walking. That show is huge, but it's great. We have a great show tonight, and that's what we're going to be talking about, NAMM.
Yeah, and so why don't we just go ahead and get started with one other thing. I know our listeners are probably wanting to find out who won the Arpanoid. So while we're going to do that, we're going to play a clip of our guest last week was Earthquaker Devices, Rick Jamie Stillman. So close to Rick Skillman. Anyways, Jamie Stillman, and he they announced two new pedals. One of them would be this new pedal called... what is it? It's a polyphonic harmonizer, and it. We have a clip of it. If you want to play that, we'll listen to that, and I will find out who the winner is.
Okay, here we go.
So that's a clip from what their pedal they're calling the Pitch Bay, and they'll be announcing that at NAMM. And for those of you listening and want to know, the winner of the Arpanoid will be Mike Freed. So I'll be contacting Mike Freed
via
email. So Mike won it. It's autographed by Jamie, the designer. And we'll be getting in contact with you so we can get that sent out to you.
Cool.
Well, let's get started.
It's an interesting pedal.
Yeah, it does quite a bit of different stuff. I mean, they have some crazy pedals coming out. So
reminds me of some nights in college.
Well, let's get started. Let's bring on first Rick Skillman from Celestion. And Rick, are you there?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing? Good to speak with you again.
Not to be confused with Jamie Stillman.
I know. Seriously, it's like a...
Stillman. I mean, it's all the men around here. It's crazy. So, how you guys doing?
We're doing good. Well, so what do you guys got coming out? You guys got a big anniversary coming out. What's new from Celestion that we'll be seeing at NAMM?
Yeah, we're celebrating our 90th year. And it's funny, I got a video clip from Peter Frampton the other day, a congratulatory video, and he said, I could swear I've been using them for 100 years, so your math might be off, but that was a crack up. Anyways, so we're launching two things at NAMM. The first, for our 90th anniversary, we are doing a limited edition speaker, which is the I'm looking for the name, the G12. It's a 35XC super cool speaker.
Is that
using
made
a lot of the newer?
Is that going to be made in the UK, or what can you tell us about that?
That is UK built. Only a limited run, I believe of 3,000. It is a it takes a lot of old technologies, things we've learned about cones, and a bit of new technology, and rolls it into one. And you know, you don't have so many parts in the speaker, so it's trying to reinvent the wheel all the time. But we're honestly onto something really cool with the speaker. So it does has extended highs, but not the harsh high end. It has a nice round low end punch to it, kind of extended low. So it's a very balanced speaker. I've been playing with the prototypes out at gigs for the last couple of weeks, and I really like them. And I've had a couple of the sound guys who know that I'm always showing up with different gear, you know, speakers. They've been real happy. So you can look for those, and there's some clips being kind of leaked out onto the internet slowly, and
on the YouTube channel for Celestion, right? On the YouTube channel,
correct.
Yep.
Yeah, correct.
And I think you even see you in there.
And that might have been me taking a little leisure break. So I thought I'd be productive if they didn't see me typing away on my laptop or on an airplane. And I got this little cool little camera that does a nice job for recording in the room. So I was kind of running through a few sounds, and they ended up liking what they heard, and they said, "Guess what? That's the clip we'll use." So here I am. And then the other one, which I'm really excited about because it's been a full court press on this one for a long time, is the new A-Type. So the A-Type is our inaugural voyage, if you will, into something kind of, I'd say, an American tone speaker. It is not a full-on old-school American speaker. It's a bit British in its lineage, but it definitely has some of those American speaker attributes. Kind of rolls off from just above 5K, so if you look at a graph of a speaker and you see all these spikes, peaks, and valleys, just up around 5K, it's like it's almost like a limiter, and it just attenuates that. So it's extremely smooth. It's got an extended bit of headroom to it. But when you're cranked up with, you know, some overdrive, be it a pedal or an amp, it sounds very smooth, kind of reminiscent of some of our earliest speakers. It's super cool. It's just much more laid back. It's got a soft pick attack. Just sounds like an old friend. And like I said, if you have an amp that's a bit brighter, or you are using pedals and some of them can add some fizz or high end, it is really good at taming that down, but it doesn't sound dark. It still sits in the mix nicely. You know, we didn't want to go too far in one direction because that's not too interesting for us. But definitely a laid back.
When do I get my sample, Rick?
Yeah, Dan wants to know when he gets his sample.
Yeah, we've been friends for a decade, and I don't have a sample of this speaker.
I have the one, and you are always on top of the list because you have them big ears at the light. So you Dan tells, he's like, "Rick, we're friends." Like when we hit it out of the park, first to say it. When we don't, first to tell us.
You know, you want a friend that's honest, right?
We need you to be honest. We've been
you guys have enough brown nosers already. I'll tell you the truth.
that's what I want. That's what I need from this relationship, Dan, is the truth, and you always do it. So
well, you never give me always, free speakers, so I have no reason to lie. So.
Yeah, you know, we build speakers for guys who have guitar amp companies and players out there who want to reload the cabs and change up their tone. And we've been on a stride lately. We've had from the Creamback to the V-Type, which you guys have done some listing, you know, some clips for. We appreciate. So we're on this now that we've hit this certain stride where we keep, you know, hitting them out of the park, we like to say, is that now we can't. You can't come out in second place. Now the next one's got to be better. It's got to be better. So, and like I said, we're servicing an industry that's, you know, guitar players are kind of old school type guys. I am, you know, and we still like glowing tubes and traditional sounding speakers. And so we can push those envelopes in certain directions. But on the new ones, we actually get to bring some technology to the table. On the old ones, you have rules you have to follow. On the new ones, we can do some really cool things that, you know, that allow us to push the boundaries a bit and just make things better.
So, Rick, Rick, is the American one, is it an Alnico or is it a ceramic?
It's a ceramic. It may or may not be. We're still kicking things around because it may be the start of a family. And we started off with ceramic because the good news is, I guess I'm putting it out there, I think it's going to be right at the same price as the V-Type, which is $99. So it's all the cool parts and great tone bits and all the things you want in a great speaker. But, we've done some begging and pleading with suppliers, and we know we're going to do high quantities, so it allows us to, it's just it's all economics, right? So we are able to bring the price into a place where it makes it great for manufacturers, for amp builders, and for end users out there just reloading their cabinets. We're super excited about it.
Yeah, I'm interested to hear.
The next one we may go to an Alnico. At one point we may launch. That was your original question. Yeah, we may have another iteration now that we've stumbled onto something we think super cool. So that's to be seen.
Yeah, I'm curious to hear that, because I know Dan. I think it's the producer series where you have the 6L6s.
Yes,
and that amp, even with the traditional Celestion, sounded amazing at the amp show.
That's right.
But that's more of like an American style amp. I'd be interesting to hear those speakers.
You know, absolutely. Though there's a couple speakers that Celestion makes that I end up using to get American sounds. Like, we rehabbed all of Don Felder's Fender Deluxes with G12H30 Celestions.
Oh, wow.
And this is a guy who's, I think, Rick, you were around when we were doing that. And we just threw one in and said, you got to hear the speaker. It's amazing. Oh, no, I'm a Fender guy. I said, well, we'll take it right back out if you don't like it. Okay. And he ended up bringing, and he has some of the finest examples of Fender Deluxes on the planet. And he brought them all in. We redid them with G12H30s.
Well, what do you recommend? Both of you guys, I'll direct it to both of you, because I'm a big fan of Fender and the old JBL, like the D120s.
Yeah.
What gets that sound? Because there isn't anything else I know of.
Well, if you like the JBL and the Altec kind of versions of Fenders, the G12H30 is the speaker. If you want more of the, Jensen Concert sound, then the Celestion Alnico Golds get really close, especially their 10s. That Alnico 10 they make, I think, is the best-sounding 10 ever made. It's really incredible speaker.
Yeah, and I saw they put those in a special edition of the Fender Vibro King, which made me salivate, actually, a little bit.
And I was part of the beta crew on that, and I don't know, how many revisions did we tell you we didn't like, Rick, before you guys got it right?
It was a handful. I mean, it was definitely, I would take him out to gigs. I would talk to Dan. I have a 65-year-old Albert, and so we hear the same things. And then I would, so we're definitely sharing a lot of information, and we find it's like that, don't mess with it. You got it.
I don't want to be a shill for you, Rick, but I'm going to be a shill for you for a minute, but.
Yeah, no.
It's an incredible.
No, your answers were great. I mean, we're working on some stuff. There's some stuff possibly in the hopper that will really address what you're talking about. But we like to do what we're good at, and we like to do it in our own way. We're not in the cloning business. So when we do something, even this being the American voice speaker, say American voice, I mean, like I said, it's kind of like what I said the other day to somebody in the UK. I said, like, somebody's eating a biscuit in Minnesota. It's like, it touches on the, it still has some British lineage in there, and you can hear it, but what people talk about when they, I want less fizz or less spike or less, boom, it knocks all that as a very, very smooth sounding speaker. Now, in some amps, it may be too polite, so you got to find, it's always about finding the right combination.
Well, I'm assuming you guys change the mid-range characteristic of it, because you guys own mid-range. I mean, if you want mid-range, and the guitar is a mid-range instrument, so Celestion's a perfect fit. But the American speakers traditionally don't have near as much mid-range as the British ones. Did you guys calm that down a little bit? Was that part of the voicing?
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, the American speakers are traditionally, like what some people call bright, some people call them dark. Really what they are is missing mid-range, so you can pick one side or the other.
Right.
So what we did is, you know, we found, we left the mids in there. What it does, it basically rolls off the high treble and reduces the aggression in the lower treble registers. So basically, we can produce the attenuated top end with more subtlety. It's just not hacked off. So you still get the full frequency spectrum, and you still get the mids you need to get through a band situation. So it has all the harmonic complexity and all that. But it's got a bit softer pick attack, and it's just missing those hard edges. You know, it doesn't go off in any crazy frequencies that some people take as, you know, I mean, some guys use that and they sound wonderful with it and they cut right through the band mix. Other guys, you know, like I said, they're trying to attenuate a brighter amp or an old tube screamer, which sounds wonderful, but famously has a big mid pump to it. So the speaker is just a great tool to use in that way when you're trying to, I mean, I was playing it with Strat style guitars, Tellys, PRS, or Les Paul. I put through his pace with different cabinets, different amps, and a sound guy at one venue we play, a big venue down in Orange County called The Ranch. We play there, and it's a big, you know, line array system, 1,000-person nightclub, and the sound guy's got he's got big ears, and he knows my job, so we always throw in a couple different mics and try things, and he just said, you know what? I walked back to the board getting ready to make a tweak here and there, and I just kind of looked up and walked away from it. He goes, it was right out of the gate. I didn't have to mess with anything. And usually he doesn't. I told him I have all this nice gear, so you don't have to mess with anything. But it's his room. He's the sound guy, and that's your team member when you're at a gig. So
he gets paid for that.
Yeah, we're really stoked. I think, you know, definitely come by. We're in Hall C. 4676 is the booth.
Yep.
Gonna be a lot going on. My band's playing on the Friday and Saturday night at the Ranch. We're kind of having the Celestian, you know, it's open to the public, so all the players can go and have a listen, but then we're having a little reception I'll be going around and inviting some of our friends and family. So you'll get to hear them in person if you make it. But if not, they'll be hitting the market pretty quick. We're not going to do the 9-month delay here. We're actually already have them on the schedule to be built. So,
well, thanks a lot, Rick, for coming on and telling us about these speakers, and we'll look forward to seeing them next week.
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, get ready for bunker down, take your vitamin C, and get ready. It's that time of the year.
All righty.
So, well, see you guys next week. Thanks, guys.
All right, see you. Thanks
you
a lot,
so much.
Rick.
Cheers. Bye.
Okay, are we ready to go ahead? Let's go ahead and take a break, and then we'll come back and continue with our discussion of the preview for NAMM. There's a product out called Guitar Hummer that's designed to give you vintage sound without the vintage weight. We all know the more a guitar is played, the better the sound. Guitar Hummer is a guitar stand that simulates play by sending gentle vibrations through your guitar as it sits. Swap your guitar stand for Guitar Hummer, and in just a few weeks, you will notice deeper, richer tone and improved sustain. But don't take our word for it. Try it for 60 days, and if you don't notice a marked difference, return it for a full refund. Go to guitarhummer.com for more information or to purchase.
Hi, this is Aaron Raby, your resident guitars and amps geek at Sweetwater Sound. 1-800-222-4700 or catch us on the web at www.sweetwater.com. As most of you gearheads know, it's NAMM season. From January 23rd to 26th, the nation's largest showcase of new gear for us musicians is going on in Anaheim, California. Can't make it to the show? Sweetwater's got you covered with our 2014 NAMM show report. Simply go to www.sweetwater.com once the show's in progress and click on the front page banner to find pictures, descriptions, and pricing of the hottest and newest gear from NAMM. We'll be canvassing the entire floor to report on the coolest gear we find and bring you the entire show's experience right in the comfort of your home. See something you have more questions on? Call us at 1-800-222-4700, and we'd be happy to discuss it with you. We love talking gear. Again, this is Aaron at Sweetwater, and thanks for having us.
we are back.
Yes, yes. And actually, we have a couple of the folks from Guitar Hummer in studio, which I think they have a pretty cool announcement they might bring up later when we bring them on. So definitely stay tuned for that. And we have Dan Boole from 65 Amps, who also brought in, and I'm sorry, I forgot your name.
This is Arne Haast, who's in from Oslo, Norway.
Wow, so we're worldwide tonight, folks.
You're worldwide. Arne has the coolest shop in Scandinavia called Vintage Guitar in Oslo. He's got another location in central Norway, too.
Yeah, you can look it up at www.vintageguitar.no.
That's it.
And it's a cool site and a lot of interesting equipment there, some great guitars.
This is the trusted guy in Scandinavia. Every major artist in the entire area goes to him. And he's also a great guitar player and a good guitar nerd, just like all of us as well. So,
absolutely.
I want to ask him, let's go ahead and just start with a question with him. Arne, how is the European market? I mean, what is your main, are you getting a lot of professional guitar players, or like in America, I think now the trend, and I think Dan will confirm this, we're getting a lot of people that are collectors and they're into vintage or boutique amps and guitars for more of a collectability and home playing as opposed to pro. Are most of your people pro, or are you getting like the consumer? Or
rock and roll lawyers?
Yeah, there you go.
Well, kind of split both ways. Our Oslo shop is definitively most professional guys that comes in. We're contributing to almost every tour that goes on in Norway, either with consultation or delivering gear.
Yeah, because I'm looking at your site, and that's not low-end gear. You got a lot of high-end stuff in there.
Yeah, we have a lot of high-end stuff, and it's really hard to pick the right high-end stuff because, and I don't want to step on anybody's toes here, but in Norway, dentists and lawyers are kind of a curse word, you know. So.
Well, lawyers, I don't know if they have a great rap here either. But
you're not going too far away.
No, we try to, everybody's welcome, but I think that my profile benefits more towards people that also can play. A lot of the stuff that we sell is very honest, and I kind of try not to be too conservative about it. But I'm having a bit of trouble with the translation here.
Okay.
He's been traveling for 18 hours.
Yeah, he just got off the plane, I know.
I do think we like to deal mostly with professional and playing guys, and we also cater a lot of collectors and aficionados too. The economy in Europe, sort of, we see about the same that you guys did in 2008, where a lot of the money went out of the market, and the guys that need stuff is still there. We still have a lot of playing musicians, gigging musicians in Norway. So,
not to interrupt, but you know, I go over and visit Arne quite a bit, and Scandinavia is still like a huge hotbed of guitar music. You know, like here in the United States, there's an entire generation of kids that grew up not listening to guitar music. But I've gone over there, and we go to festivals, and the artists that use my gear, we go watch them play.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 12-year-olds up to 70-year-olds. Mm-hmm. It's a very heavy guitar culture. They also have oil money there, which helps. They're very much, you know, into the top-end gear. What's the saying you guys have in Oslo that you and the bands always say? What is it? Oh, I'm blanking on it. It's always, you know, high-end gear or death or something like that.
High-end forever, Squire never.
Yeah.
No, that's interesting.
It's sort of a joke, but there wasn't much high-end going on in Norway. Well, there was one shop that was doing, like, matchless amplifiers and PRS guitars and all that kind of stuff, but the more boutique-y stuff wasn't very available before, until the last 10 years. There's my shop and another shop that's been sort of pushing that forward, and
mm-hmm.
It's a small community. We're like 4,500 million people there, and
that's a good sized community of guitar players.
Yeah, well, Norway has the length of the Californian coast, so so they're very scattered. But Oslo is a cool town to live in if you enjoy music. There's
lots of great live music.
Yeah. A lot of clubs.
Yeah,
good club scene.
It's like Austin.
Oh, okay.
Size of Austin and and a lot of music clubs. You can go out every day.
Let me interject. We had a question from one of our listeners in the chat room. She wanted to know what the NAMM show was. I just wanted to briefly just tell everybody. It's the National Association of Music Merchants. It's the biggest show of music equipment in the world, I think.
Yeah, I always tell people it's like going to a music store that's 6 football fields long.
Yeah, it's major.
And everyone's playing at once.
And you can't buy any of it.
I mean, they have it twice a year. They have one over in Nashville, but this is the big one. And I think the only thing bigger than this is Music Messe.
Music Messe in Germany. It's not larger footprint, but it's longer duration.
Yeah. Now, getting back to Arna, the what I wanted to ask you was you sell a lot of American product there. Besides 65 amps, you have Gibsons and vintage Fenders and stuff like that. Is there tariffs? Is it much more expensive to buy American guitars there, or is it pretty open? Because I know, like, for example, Brazil, it's like 100%.
100%, yeah.
It's ridiculous. But
well, it used to be. I mean, the vintage gear in Norway, the prices in Norway compared to Sweden, our neighbor, is actually lower. Norway doesn't have a big following on vintage gear, like the high-end stuff. Sweden, just to shoot that in, they're opening this big museum in northern Sweden this year, which is going to be the greatest exhibition of guitars.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the two brothers, they have everything. I'll pass you the
yeah, and actually, you should post, if you post pictures, let me know, we'll share the links of that stuff.
But back to your question. In Europe, there's a price war going on because you can't set a low advertising price, or it's free pricing. So certain somebody has driven the prices way down. So
you can see it. You're in Los Angeles.
Well, I don't know who's listening. Anyway. I have a couple of friends that travels over here, and they said that the prices on a Gibson Custom Shop guitar is actually lower in Norway than it is here now. So
there you go, Scott. I know you want another custom Gibson.
And Norway's beautiful. It's worth
fly,
the trip.
You know. Yeah.
Is it $1,200 cheaper? Because then you could go there for free.
Yeah, it's
I can't do the translate the rates now, but it's cheaper for Norwegians to buy home.
Now, yeah. Arna, is the Norway make is there any guitar manufacturers there, or are most of your music instruments imported?
It's imported.
So you don't, there's nothing there that you guys don't make amps, or there's nothing.
Well, I'll let you guys into a little secret, because we're starting a pickup company, me and a couple of friends. And we're not going for that old PAF style kind of thing. We're going to do a pickup that sort of set Norwegian rock and roll on the map. Check out Turbo Negro. It's one of the bands that we're kind of voicing after. Except for that, there's a couple of amp builders, but not the tradition that you guys have with...
So it's not an issue. I mean, it primarily you import your instruments.
I don't have tariffs going over there, but they have a higher sales tax schedule. Their VAT is pretty punishing, so the price naturally goes up from that.
Right.
But when I export to a lot of countries, there are duties and tariffs, and there's a little bit of a customs duty, I think, going into Norway, but not like a full-on tariff.
We're not a member of the EU, so the EU countries have a 10% tariff on top.
Yeah.
But we don't have that.
I know that England American instruments are expensive.
Yeah.
In England.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about France, but I think there's a tariff in France.
It's the same rules.
So for Dan, what do you got new that's coming out of NAMM? Which, for those of you listening, they're at booth 5952.
I got this blender, and if you put vegetables in it, it'll make you really... No.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's powered by tubes, though.
Yeah, exactly. No, well, I have two amps that we're releasing. So, Jeff, I should bring it in and let you guys hear it.
Yes.
I'm doing another producer, only this one now is four EL84s. And I've shied away from going directly at the old Vox AC30, but as many of you guys who know me, I'm a complete and utter Vox queer. And I decided just to go ahead and do it. And it's not an AC30 circuit. It's 90% the producer that you heard. I made a lot of tweaks to make it behave like a Vox.
Mm-hmm.
And I have over the course of time, I've owned what I consider to be reference piece AC30s that are just amazing. And I was able to just kind of nail it. And it works really well. And it was an easy translation from the producer EL and the producer 6L to take this down. So it is reduced voltage and higher current like those other amps. So you can run any EL84 in it. And but it throws a much wider net than an AC30 does. You can get some really great clean sounds. You can do Dead Nuts Beatles sounds, Dead Nuts Brian May stuff, Dead Nuts Mike Campbell things. But then you can take it into a higher gain, crunchier, more forgiving sort of situation that AC30s aren't known for. And then in my red line, I've decided to give up, and I'm finally going to address high gain.
Okay.
And so I think we talked about this when I was here before. I used to play on the Sunset Strip in the 80s. And that's just a period of my life I washed out like a trauma from childhood.
Is that the one you mentioned, I think, on your site,
my Facebook,
your video show that you're asking the audience to
name? Yeah, I'm trying to name it, So when I was out here when the Strip kind of took off, and I wasn't really wild about most of the artists in the 80s, but I really heard some fantastic guitar tones that to me at the time were extremely stimulating and exciting. And I still remember those clearly, and I was going after those too when I was playing out here. So decided to go ahead and do it. I'm not a high-gain guy, so my good friend Dave Friedman offered to help. And so you guys know Dave Friedman from Yep. Rack Systems and Friedman Amps.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of one of the, what you call wizards of high-gain.
Mm-hmm. Well, he probably makes some of the best Marshalls that aren't Marshalls.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you got guys like George Lynch and all these people that just rely on Friedman. So I invited Dave over. We had a few lunches. We sat down with a legal pad and took a bunch of notes and went for it. And he taught me a lot, and I showed him a lot of things the way I do things, a very different way than he does. So it was a really fun exchange. And so it's a 45-watt amp with a pair of 6L6s, believe it or not. And it's just that high throttle, butane burning high gain stuff without being offensive at all, and it's extremely fun to play and extremely forgiving. My wife has heard me play it and jokes that it's the amp for guys that suck.
Now, quick question though, for that amp, what speakers are you using to get that sound?
G12H30s. Yeah, and I think we're probably going to offer some M's with this also, just because you can get into that higher gain thing, and M has a little more rolled off top end, and it compresses a little harder than a G12H30 can be kind of literal. But when you push them really hard, an M kind of compresses and breaks up a little nicer.
Now, this new amp, too, is this amp still run? One thing I noticed when I was at the amp show is you were cranking up your producer.
Yes.
And it was cool. Those tubes, that thing did not heat up. Does this high gain amp run cool like
that?
No,
this is not. This is a traditional high B-plus amp. We're running it very safely, though. For you tube nerds out there, we've got the screen grids down low enough that the tube's not really in danger. But I don't have my master voltage on it. I went with the two fingers in the air master volume. And it's got a traditional Marshall-type tone stack, treble, mid, bass presence. And then it has a clean channel that is completely... what's the word I'm looking for? It takes a circuitous route around the master volume. So the clean channel is just straight into the phase inverter. So one of the things that drives me nuts about master volume amps is you don't have any clean sound.
Mm-hmm.
So on this amp, you can dial the master down as low as you want, and then that clean channel is completely independent and unregulated. So you can actually play a lot louder clean than you can dirty on this amp if you want. Which I'm finding a lot of young artists today, that's more important to them. When they go to the high gain stuff, it becomes more of a background thing, and they want to play loud and clean. So I think it's highly functional. It's really fun, and I'm sort of astonished at age 48 that I'm enjoying it as much as I am. But I've been dancing around my living room for a week now, making everybody laugh.
And so. Oh, that sounds good. I want to hear this. You'll have this at the show, so I want
to. I will. So are you guys coming to NAMM?
Oh yeah, we're definitely going to come by your booth and check this out.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, come over and play.
Okay. Yeah. No.
That's are you going to have like a little sound setup or a room that's isolated?
Yeah. Did you see our booth last year?
It's
a giant 65 amp that is 150 square feet.
How many watts?
120
watts.
It takes 32 EL34s to run it. but no, it's relatively soundproof. If you look on my Facebook page, you can see me laughing through the window at the sound control guys at NAMM. Because they bust me relentlessly at NAMM, and I, so well that I know their names. Like, hey, Steve. Hey, Jim. How you doing? And they caught me making a rude gesture at him through the window when they were pointing their sound meters at my booth. And someone caught it on camera. And so they thought it was hilarious, and we're all there laughing. But it looks like a huge 65 amp. It's got the vents on the top, a big logo. Our grill is the window. And we're in Hall B.
Hall B.
So come on by and play.
52.
So, thank you. And I didn't even know that. And but you can come by and play at full volume. We don't have to do the shh, why, here they come thing. You know, you can...
I want to hear this amp.
You can come by and crank.
Okay. No, that sounds good.
Should you bring a 7-string guitar? Or is that
you can do it.
Well, he'll probably have his Les Paul, which is a dream to play anyway.
Yeah, I take my yellow Les Paul. And then my R8, I can't leave laying around. But
I hear you.
But yeah, I have that. And then we're going to have some neat guitars there. Andy Elliott's going to bring a couple of guitars in. Gabe from Echo Park is bringing a double cut 59 that he just made that has Ron Ellis's new P90s in it.
Oh, okay.
And then my normal guitars that you see on the show. And then there's usually a few other guys that drop guitars off. So please come by and play, because I get tired of playing all day. And I love it when
I want to try this.
I love it when people go, here, can I play? Oh, yeah, here, play, man.
Have that and the producer. I want to try this.
Yeah, man.
Because a Vox AC30, I like that sound. I want to see what you did.
Yeah, check out some of the replays of my show. You can hear, because we're doing it right over here at Office Studios in Van Nuys.
Okay.
So we're using, it's an SSL board.
Can you give us the link for the videos?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if you just Google Lunch with Dan Boole, you'll see it. But so we're recording it through an SSL board. We've got a Royer 122V, you know, valve-driven ribbon mic. We got an AEA ribbon mic and a Telefunken Elam 49, you know.
Big, oh, cool.
Yeah, that thing hears everything. So there's you can't get away. If your amp is misbehaving at all, that amp will that mic will highlight it. So, but we do it with no compression, no EQ, nothing on it, mm-hmm. just straight, literal, here's the guitar. So you can really hear, if you have good speakers, you can really hear what it sounds like. It's pretty accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why don't we take a quick little break, and then we'll talk to the folks from Guitar Hammer.
Okay, we'll be right back. Do you want to get the best possible tone from your acoustic instrument? Guitar Hummer is a guitar stand that does more than just rest your guitar. It creates a gentle but continuous vibration that is equivalent to playing your instrument all day, every day. This concentrates years of seasoning into mere weeks, improving tone and sustain. You may not be able to afford a vintage guitar, but you now can achieve vintage sound. But don't take our word for it. Try it for 60 days, and if you don't notice a marked difference, return it for a full refund. Go to GuitarHummer.com for more information or to purchase.
Hi, I'm Richard Kotze from the Winery Dogs, and you are listening to The Flow, Guitar Enthusiast.
We are back. Now, we only have a few minutes left. Let's get on with Guitar Hummer.
Yeah, we got about 12, 15 minutes.
What I want to mention also, too, we had videoed something about almost 2 months ago where I brought in my Martin. I have a newer Martin with a solid rosewood, solid spruce. And so I played it, and Scott videoed it and recorded it, showing the guitar as it was brand new. So I've been putting the guitar on the stand. It's been on there for about 2 months. We're probably going to go another month or so. So I'm trying to get it to, you know, I was explaining before the show to Charles that, you know, if you were gigging, you'd be playing about 10 hours a week playing the guitar. So I'm trying to get about 3 years or so on the guitar so that we can notice, you know, get a good chance to hear a difference and see how it mellowed out. So we're here both with Charles and Jeff Blish, who came up with the idea for Guitar Hummer.
Yeah, about I'd say 5 or 6 years ago. It took me a while to actually find a way to get it, bring it to fruition. But it really, the genesis was I had a Martin D28 that I bought in 1972 that I've been playing for, you know, had been playing for years and years and years, and that was my guitar. And made the mistake of going into a guitar shop and buying a Collings one day that I've fallen in love with. So my Martin's been sitting there.
I don't know if that's a mistake.
Well, I don't know. It's I feel like I cheated. You know,
yeah, but with guitars, it's okay.
Yeah, I guess
women,
it is.
It's not.
But
don't sell them. Never sell.
Well, no. But here's the thing: my Martin's sitting in the closet, getting no attention.
Well, that's
so I was thinking about the fact that I don't play it anymore, and it's not. And I remember, like, back in the 60s when we used to crank the music up, we'd always put our guitars in front of the speakers to try and, you know, season them, mellow them out, that kind of thing. So, and I've talked to people who tour, and they talk about the fact that the vibration in the planes, you know, on tour, their guitars sound better than when they're at home and stuff like that. So just got the idea, if I could find a way to vibrate it, you know, kind of continuously, that it would, you know, sort of simulate a lot of play, and therefore it wouldn't be quite as neglected. So I hooked up with Charles, and he came up with a way to do it by taking a guitar stand and making it vibrate. So,
and the rest is history. And it's an interesting unit. I got it in my studio in the corner. It's just, you can hear it a little bit, like a little buzzing sound from it, and it's just sitting back there. And I've been checking. I went on the website. You can go to their site, www.guitarhummer.com, and it explains how to set it up. And you'll hear a little bit of noise. You'll see the strings vibrate a little bit. You can see it, and just it's just going.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you guys about that. So, you know, you've got us the ability to a potentiometer to be able to either make it go, you know, vibrate more or less. So, how do you determine where's the stopping point? Or am I vibrating it enough or not enough?
Well, the recommend is really to just get the strings vibrating a bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, because again, you want to kind of simulate play, so you don't want to shake the thing to death. I mean, I don't know, maybe it would work. I don't know. But the idea is to try and get as close to the amount of vibration that you'd have if you were actually playing. And so you can just feel, you know, the vibration on the soundboard.
I mean, you can touch the guitar and you can feel it vibrating.
Yeah.
You can see the strings vibrating, but I mean, it's not like
it's not shaking
all over the place.
If you crank it up, it'll shake, but we don't recommend that. We recommend doing it to where it's just, you know, you've got some vibration going in. That also keeps the noise level down. So
now, how, without totally giving away all your secrets, but I mean, how did you come up with? He came up with the idea, but how did you actually make it happen?
Well, I mean, the short answer is it was a little bit of a process. But, you know, I was sitting at home one day after Jeff explained to me the concept for the stand and, you know, kind of what he was looking to do. And I had a couple old cell phones laying around, and a text message went off, and it's like, oh, okay, what makes this vibrate? So I got the old cell phones, ripped them apart. Found some little things and, you know, little vibration motors in there, and you know, started wiring them together, and, you know, true tinkerer fashion, almost lit my apartment on fire. You know, like any real good guitar nerd, and, you know, somebody trying to create something. And then, you know, the whole challenge was getting it all in a guitar stand and building a guitar stand that housed all of that. And you know, really the science behind it and making sure that it would work. You know, like you guys were saying, I set the stands before they leave the shop somewhere in about the 50% range on that potentiometer, which is roughly, you know, 90 to 110 hertz. All the potentiometers read just a little bit different, which, you know, in essence is like a G or an E chord. You know, open play G or E chord resonates at about 100 hertz. Now that's going to change from guitar to guitar, and like I said, with the different potentiometers too. But, I mean, that was really it. You know, it was just...
Then it was a matter of, you know, buying tools and stuff like that and starting to build them. So that's why we got ourselves a little shop, and on the weekends we make them.
Well, and the one thing to mention to people, I mean, it is a guitar stand, but, you know, we were talking about this earlier. It's not something you bring when you play live. It's for keeping at home and having your guitar sit there.
Yeah, or at the studio, anywhere you're going to keep your guitar, you know, stationary for, you know, longer periods of time.
Yeah, and it's really, I think, something great for, again, you know, someone who collects guitars, who has a collection. I mean, that's really what, again, I wanted this for myself.
Right.
Which is one of the reasons we built it. Because I have, you know, I've gotten a little older now. I've got a few guitars, and, you know, I neglect more than one. So it's good to have
quality problems.
That, yeah, I know. That works on it. So.
No, it's so far so good. I mean, one of my friends, we took it off for a minute, and he played the guitar, and he liked the sound of it. It did sound a little – it had a little more darker character to it. But I'm going to – we'll A-B it from the
– Yeah. And we're actually going to do – we're going to we're looking into some engineers to do some actual sound testing and whatnot. But there's some science we've discovered behind, you know, what happens with vibration in wood and what happens to wood.
Are you familiar with the old SWR company? The principal of that company was a guy named Steve Robbie, and he had a company in the early 90s, I think, that was trying to do a similar thing.
Yeah.
They did it with a huge tube-driven resonator.
Yeah. No, the shaker tables have been tried and stuff like that, which do it, you know, over a short burst.
Right.
And nothing really.
It was kind of brutal.
When I did my patent search, though, I found some interesting designs for people that had devices that would actually take a pick that would, you know, mechanically go across the strings and whatnot. So we were trying to find a more elegant.
Many of the robo guitars.
I know,
right?
Trying to find a more elegant solution than that. So I think we came up with one because it's simple. It's, you know, you put your guitar on a stand, you know, and you're going to do that anyway. You might as well put it on one that actually helps the guitar. So that's cool. That's the theory behind it. So
what's the somebody's asking? I don't know off the top of my head. What's the suggested retail of the Hummer?
We've got it at $120 right now. So if you go on the site, you can actually buy it for $120.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you, yeah. They wanted to know. Might have made a sale. There you go.
Good.
And it'll, but it'll take, so, you know, the important thing is it'll take a, you know, we were talking about, you were saying it really works well on guitars that are like, you know, $400, $500, $600.
Yeah, I mean, the guitar where I really saw the biggest difference is I've got a Martin J15 I bought new like 4 or 5 years ago that I put on, and it really came to life after really a couple of months. And I actually had it on the stand for about 9 months, and it is sweet now. I mean, it was nice before, but, you know, it's a $600 guitar where, you know, my Martin, which is, you know, my D28, which is already aged for a while and whatnot, I can pick up a little bit of a difference, but not quite as dramatic as something that is a little cheaper and newer. I mean, it really, really makes a difference.
And we were talking a little bit before the show. Those guitars, too, are solid.
Right.
A solid spruce top will probably work better than a laminate, because a laminate, the way it's glued together, so it doesn't move as well as like a, or it's more of a static sound. They tend not to mellow out
as much.
So if you have at least the spruce top, if the spruce top is solid, you'll probably notice a big difference. Mm-hmm. And solid sides can help, but it's not as critical.
Yeah, the wood, like what we hear as age and that tone that those vintage guitars have, you know, some of the guitars that you guys own that have been around 20 years and been played that time that have that sweet, sweet sound to it. What's actually happening with the wood is, especially in like the solid body guitars, is there's three parts to it. There's the hemicellulose, the cellulose, and the lignin, and it's all held together. And from the point that the tree's cut down and formed into a guitar, and you start playing it, it starts going through a crystallization process.
Mm-hmm.
So the wood internally on, you know, like a micro level, essentially becomes more rigid and allows those vibrations from the strings to transfer through the wood and into the box of the guitar and the body of the guitar. And that's why those sounds grow over time. And that's why, you know, applying what we do with our stands helps that process.
Yeah.
So, you
know, Billy Sheehan mentioned that on his signature model bass, that Yamaha actually did some type of like a freeze-dry process to get that type of crystallization.
Yeah.
But this is much more eco-friendly.
I just want to remind everyone that he called me a nerd.
No, I just said I was out nerded.
Yeah, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, it's fantastic. I'm only joking.
I'm just wondering if we put the if we put one of your cabinets on the guitar Hummer, if it would age the kit.
Well, I can hear it with a cabinet, you know, when we do the joinery on it, because we do a process where we just beat the daylights out of the cabinet for about 48 hours. And it sounds better.
Yeah.
You can tell. But I'm using plywood, though. Yeah. You know, I think it's probably going to react pretty rapidly relative to what a nice guitar would do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I don't know if you can hear me because I don't have a mic.
Yeah.
Well, there's my experience with guitars that are glued together. The same thing with plywood cabinets and stuff. It sort of interconnects everything when it gets vibrations. And that's kind of the funny thing with a national guitar. Because, and it would be funny to try one of your stands with national guitars. Because when you're on a Resophonic, if you take it apart and clean it, you have to start playing it again. Because you start from scratch, it sounds new again. So
the resonator, the
steel resonator.
Yeah. So when you pull out the cones and the T-bar and clean it or change the cones or whatever, when you put it back together, you have to play it a lot to make it sound right again. So sales pitch for you guys.
That might be interesting to try that with a resonator. I don't have a resonator guitar myself, but that'd be interesting to test it.
Mm-hmm. You guys should be at NAMM going to every guitar maker. Thing. We'll co-brand this with you for a nice licensing fee.
Yeah, no, we're trying to decide what we're going to do with this. But I want to try and sell it direct for a while.
Oh yeah, I would still do that. Yeah. But you know, go with people who can afford to license it and make $100,000.
That'd be interesting. Yeah, but there's some interesting possibility because there's some interesting types of guitars out there. The resonator is one of them.
Yeah,
there's some other ones that use, I think, a speaker cone as a resonator too, besides a type of a dobro, but it's not a metal.
Well, that's the big shortfall for all modern acoustic makers is their guitars are new.
Yeah.
You know, and you play a brand new Collings, which plays like butter, and they sound fantastic, but it sounds like a new guitar.
Right.
Even their best one, you know, vintage bracing, blah, 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 it still sounds like a new guitar. So it's a real value add for guys like that.
Yep.
Well, we're at the close of the show, but before I go, do we want to mention you were talking about a special giveaway that you wanted to do?
Yeah, I'd like to sort of offer something up. We want to put reviews on our site, but I don't want to just put reviews because, quite frankly, I could sit down and write them myself. And so I kind of never believe what's on people's sites. So what we thought we might do is we want to find like 10 listeners out there that we want to give away guitar Hummers to.
So how would they do that?
Well, what they need to do is they need to send us an email to guitarhummer.com or guitarhummer@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's our email address. And what I need to know is what kind of guitar you want to put on it, because I want to get a range of guitars and that sort of thing, so we'll sort of select on that basis. And, you know, what I want to do is I want to give away 10 of these to 10 people, and the only requirement is that you then write a review of this after 8 weeks in terms of your experience and what you hear, and I want to take all 10 then and put them on the site, you know, good, bad, or indifferent. We'll see what happens.
But, would you mind if we post that up on our website and our Facebook?
Not at all.
And then we can announce the winners.
The listeners, you know, when you're sending the emails across, make sure to mention the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Show. That way I know what I'm looking at.
Because he's going to have to do
that. There's a lot of emails that come through that account.
Hey, I want my free stand, man.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So it's an opportunity for someone to, you know.
Oh, I think it's great. That'll be, and we should get a pretty. And if somebody out there has a resonator guitar, especially send that email in, because I want to know how if that works.
Yeah. Go take one down to Norman Harris.
That's true. Norman has plenty of.
No, I had Norm.
He's got
guitars.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
No, that. And are you guys? Do you guys have a booth at NAMM? Are you?
No, we're not. We're not there this year.
Okay. So, go ahead and give the booth again for yours.
What is it, Scott?
It's 5952 for 65 amps.
That's what I was going to say.
Okay. It's 4676 for Celestion.
Yes. And check out Lunch with Dan Boole on YouTube. I think it's on YouTube.
So now the next question is, when are you guys going to come be on our show?
We have to.
We
do
need
that.
Jeff and Scott. Can you guys get away from your respective situations on Saturday night?
Yeah. After let us finish. Let's finish NAMM.
Oh yeah. I mean,
we'll get over.
We'll be broadcasting from our party Saturday.
And
night,
I do want to go to your lunch.
Oh yeah.
And bring a guitar down.
Yeah, absolutely.
But there is no lunch there, by the way. You know that, right?
You have to bring me lunch. That's why it's called Lunch with Gainsbull. Yeah.
But I want to mention what he's talking about. His show. It's called Rock Ain't Near Dead. With Tony Conley. It's on Saturday, 8 p.m. on Channel 1, and it's a great show.
Thank you.
And I want to thank all you guys. Arna, thank you so much for visiting us, and we hope that you'll come back again. I'd love to hear more, and we'll keep everybody posted. Vintage Guitar, GITAR.NO, and check out his site. And he's got some really cool guitars. And, of course, he's got some of the coolest amps
yeah,
I know
Yeah, he's
of.
Got a couple of good ones. Yeah.
And we should also mention Earthquaker Devices. Their booth is 2884, if you want to visit them. Thank them again for the giveaway that we did today with the Arpanoid. And next week we have a cool show. We have Aaron DeBlow from Taylor Guitars. So we're going to be talking all about what they're going to be showing at NAMM. So we'll
more NAMM next week.
Yep. And then after that, we have Mitch Gallagher from Sweetwater. We'll be talking at post-NAMM. We'll be talking about what we saw and what we liked.
I love Mitch. He's fantastic.
So he'll be in studio. Yeah. So thanks again to our sponsors, Sweetwater Music and
GuitarHummer.com.
And make sure to email them, guitarhummer@gmail.com. Mention the Flow Guitar.
Good night, everybody.